And opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. I'll have Representative Will Stapp calling in from Juneau here in a little bit. He's in a meeting right now, he told me, or he texted me. And as soon as he's available, he'll call in and we'll go on with that interview. But looking at today's weather, it's still trying to be a little bit of winter out there, isn't it? Just a little bit here, a little bit there. One of these days, we are going to have a really good melting day. But that's not today, that's for sure. Anyway, if you have a thought about that, we're at 907-458-8255, 907-458-TALK. And the legislature, they've got another 30 days to go, it looks like. We'll see how they do. Lots of, not rumors, but indecision in the air. Do they do the 50-50 deal with the permanent fund? Or do they do a 75-25%? Do they give a base student allocation out? How do they fund things? They only got so much money. Is their budget revenue correct? We have Mr. Stapp here. We're going to take a phone call from Mr. Stapp. How you doing, sir? Mr. Stapp, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Mr. Pruse. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How is Juneau treating you?
Oh, you know, it's living the dream. Not really. It's actually sun's out today, so that's kind of a remarkable experience down here, you know.
You enjoying yourself?
Oh, just working hard, you know, just working hard. So,
into your final 30 days of your first session?
Final 30 days coming up, and hopefully not a day longer, you know.
Tell me how you really feel, sir.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have three entities there, and each entity has a priority. And actually, four entities, if you cannot count the minority in the House.
Yeah.
And so, how's it all looking overall, do you think?
Well, I mean, I'd say so far so good. You know, we passed the operating budget out yesterday. I'm going to transmit that over to the Senate. Of course, the other body, they're going to get a crack at that and make a bunch of changes, and then they're going to send it back. And we're going to start hearing the capital budget here in the House, although the Senate has not transmitted the capital budget over to us yet. But, yeah, and then we'll start looking at what we can do to try to kind of move our town forward, to look at the type of capital investment that we need, hopefully the work on delivering cheaper energy for interior residents, and clean up some of the issues we have with stuff going on in town. So,
good for you. You're on House Finance, and what is there, nine people on that?
There's 11 people on the committee. There's seven majority members and four minority members.
Okay. How was the, when you sent over the operating budget, what was your amount for a dividend, or was that included?
Yeah, so we did put that amount in the dividend. We did a 50-50% of market value draw. So basically half the money goes to the dividend and residents, and half the money goes to spend on state services. So we did a 50-50 PONV draw.
And what are you looking for your base student allocations?
Well, currently, we have a BSA bill that we are hearing in House Finance. We opted to do one-time funding of $680 per student, one-time increase. So that required, our House minority to vote for the education funding. Actually, would have been the largest education one-time funding increase in the state's history, and they did not vote for that. They voted against that.
They voted against the increase.
Yes, for a variety of reasons. Effectively not voting in favor of the CBR draw effectively. When we transmit that budget to the Senate, the increase has a $0 amount as opposed to a $680. So we still have the language for a one-time funding increase in our budget. That will be probably conferenceable when the Senate comes up with a number. But that would have required a certain vote threshold to get some of the Democrat minority members on board, and they opted not to do that. So they voted against it.
Boy, that's going to be rough to defend, but I'm sure they'll try.
Yeah, I don't really know. You can go back and watch all the floor speeches. It's just interesting content. You know, I call it kabuki theater,
So. Well, they didn't run and hide, did they?
Not this time. That was last week, That was last week where we had to, everybody ran away. Got a little crazy,
Where did everyone figure out where they're hiding, or were they in secret locations by themselves?
Yeah, they ended up coming back. It was a very strange day. I stepped outside the House floor, and then I watched everybody running down the balcony and sprinting for their cars and peeling out in the parking lot. And I looked over at a friend of mine, Representative Sumner from the Valley, and I said, "Man, I don't think they're coming back." And that was that. So,
did they finally come back?
Yeah, they came back about 4 or 5 hours later, and then we kind of slogged out the operating budget amendments and stuff like that.
Were they leaving because they didn't like the amendments or the way the budget was going, that you weren't giving it to them?
Yeah, about that. I mean, they. Long story short, that they were. Most of the folks were upset, and they were trying to take the PFD and tie it to the Constitutional Budget Reserve vote, in the tune of like $800 million for the dividend to come out of the Constitutional Budget Reserve. And, and then they were talking about how, it would be reckless to spend from savings. So we effectively decided that we would change the education funding increase to the Constitutional Budget Reserve of $174 million instead. And then they got mad and they left, basically.
So you didn't have to pay for this entertainment, did you?
No, it was very interesting. And, we learned a lot, what the actual procedures are, if that actually happens, I don't know. I don't know what you do if we actually do something really like Republican, where do you go from there?
Disbandment of the party. My goodness.
Yeah, no, it was certainly interesting. I think people calmed down and kind of came to their senses later in the day and the next day, So it was a very interesting experience, but never a dull moment in the Capitol, I suppose.
No, I suppose not. I suppose not. How are you guys getting along with the Senate?
So far so good. The Senate is a very, very kind of discreet body, so it's hard to kind of determine what they're up to, I would suppose. But, we're certainly communicating them and trying to find out what the most equitable solution is to be able to pass a budget that's best for all Alaskans.
Where's the governor weighing in at?
The governor is, I just left a meeting with the governor and every other member of the House of Representatives regarding, his long-term vision for the state in terms of how he plans to balance our revenues and expenditures. So that'll be an interesting conversation that we're going to have probably over the next few weeks. So.
This is the term I use for estimating revenue.
Yeah.
No matter what they estimate the revenue on, it's based on oil. And from what they estimate to what they get, they're never within 20%, ever, be it high or low. So basically, it's what you call a crapshoot.
Yeah, so, you know, for our budget that we did in the House, we actually based it off a low oil price. So in theory, every day since we crafted our budget, oil has been actually, you know, our current revenues are about $1 billion more than what our we based our budget on. So I think that's a good thing to actually build a budget based off a low number in terms of oil price than a high number.
Yeah.
Because when you're wrong, you're going to be wrong in the favorable way, which means more money to the coffers and not less money, you know.
Yeah. Well, hey, can we take a quick commercial break? Can you hold on?
Oh, sure.
Okay, Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Outdoor Show, sponsored by Camper Valley RV, is happening this weekend at the Carlson Center. No matter who you are, we have something to boost your Alaskan summer fun factor. Check out the newest outdoor recreational equipment, plan a hunting or fishing adventure, get travel ideas, all this and more, including the Interior Alaska Gun Show. The Outdoor Show, this weekend at the Carlson Center, $5 for adults, 12 and under free, and military or anyone bringing two cans of food free on Sunday. The Outdoor Show, sponsored by Camper Valley RV and the radio station.
Lawyers often promise superior skills or care when litigating personal injury cases, but today, clients are also looking for value from their lawyer. At Jason Wiener & Associates, we recognize that some cases are easier than others. 33% is not always an equitable fee. We will design a contingency fee retainer that reflects the difficulty of your case. Jason Wiener & Associates will fight for you and help guide you through the personal injury claim process without charging you an arm and a leg. Call 907-452-5196 for a free personal injury consultation today.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway, your steel outdoor power equipment dealer for Interior Alaska. See the full line of steel products at The Woodway today. The Alaskan way, the right way, The Woodway.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 31 today under cloudy skies. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 12. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 40. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I got Will Stapp on the line with me. How you doing there, sir?
I'm doing excellent, Mr. Pruse. How are you?
Doing well. I've got a call coming in, and what we've had is we've had issues of the person on the, what we call the hotline, which you're on, hearing the question from the callers. But we're going to try it, and if you can't hear this, let me know, and I'll sort of try and say what he's saying, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Representative Will Stapp, and your name is?
Miss Al.
Hello, Al.
I don't have a question, but I'll make a comment.
Certainly.
I was listening to the floor session yesterday, and listening how mainly that was the Democrats, you know, wanting more money in the budget. Yet Andy Josephson got up there and said, you know, this budget's not sustainable. I don't know how the governor can even sign it. And I thought that was pretty profound, because every Democrat after him, you know, said this budget wasn't good, but they wanted other services and more education and you know, they wanted more spending in the bill.
Did you hear that, Will?
I did not, but I'm going to have my staff listen to the program.
Okay. Basically, I appreciate the phone call, Al. You take care.
Yeah.
What he said was Andy Joseph got up and said how this your budget that you guys had is not sustainable than every other Democrat got up and said how you got to put more money into spend.
Yeah, that's what I mean by kabuki theater, you know what I mean? I it doesn't really bother me. I mean, a lot of that is optics so people can make clips for themselves to kind of play in their own district. I just don't operate like that, David. You know, I never probably will.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make much sense to say, well, your budget has a deficit, but here, let's spend $200 million more dollars and then say, well, I don't want to tap savings for $100 million, but I will tap savings for $800 million. I mean, go figure that one out, you know. So.
Well, as you said, kabuki theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, the world is a stage, and that's what they were doing. They're getting their points in for their reelection or their talking points, and, you know, protecting education when not voting for education. How's that a good one?
Yeah, and, you know, just to kind of further that, so they actually voted against the effective date clause in the budget, too. So I thought that was really strange, you know. So effectively, if you fail to get the vote threshold for the effective date, the budget is not enacted for 90 days, right?
Yeah.
So keep in mind, our current budget ends fiscal year 22, ends at the June 30th, right? So if you don't want to vote for the effective date of the budget, effectively you're not going to have any money be able to be available for any type of government service for 90 days upon the passage of that budget, right?
Basically November 1.
Yeah, so I mean, to me, folks got up and talked about they didn't want to pink slip teachers and all this other things, and they didn't want to, you know, give instability to state workers. But my argument is, well, the fastest way to pink slip everybody is just not to fund government for 2 months. You know?
There you go. The savings. You know, I paid a compliment to President Biden on the air yesterday. I never do anything nationwide, but when he approved the sale of liquefied natural gas, you know, overseas, it's like, wow, okay, he did something.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. It actually feeds into the Alaska Gas Line Development Project. There's a lot of interesting things happening going on to that. I am hopeful, but I want to verify not only the LNG export aspect, but really the 45Q tax credits for ammonium, right? That's kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a big deal for our state. In the event that we can actually have the feasibility of this project to move forward. And that would be a big game changer for Alaska, right? So we're at a kind of wait and see. We should have some updates from the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation here, ideally by the end of the month, or maybe in the beginning of May. That'll determine whether or not we can actually make the long-term Alaskan dream come true. You know, I'll say it's really a now or never moment for that gas line. You know, I mean, geopolitical events, federal special financing, and really export subsidies. If you can't build that thing with all those things going on, you're probably never going to be able to build it. So,
true. And if not now, like you said, you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, bingo. And I say that like in dead seriousness. I mean, the stars have aligned in really the best possible way they could for our state to kind of have another kind of Prudhoe Bay moment in terms of a gas line. So if AGDC really can't close the deal on that within the next 12 months, it's probably dead forever. So
do they have to put contracts out there for sale?
Yeah, I mean, they've been talking that they have been working with a bunch of different private sector entities, and they actually have interest, but I haven't seen any hard evidence of that yet, just whispers, you know.
Yeah, nothing in front of you, no reports given.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. How's you and your staff doing down there?
We're doing good. You know, I have my nearly all Fairbanks staff working away here, trying to move some bills, to benefit our town. We had had the HGR 11, which is the ordinance about the EPA and wood stoves and PM2.5 in Fairbanks. We heard it in Senate Resources yesterday. We're going to see if we can get that moved out of the Senate, tomorrow, and then hopefully voted on and passed and transmitted. And if your listeners aren't familiar with kind of the background, I know you are, David, about what the EPA is trying to do to our town.
Oh, yeah.
Regarding PM2.5. So
now here's what I want them to understand. Yeah, but they never will. Here's my thought. David's quick philosophy on this. You're going to make fuel more expensive by your acts here. You're just going to do it. Now, what's that going to do? People are going to be looking for alternative ways to heat their homes cheaper. And that's going to be more wood, more tires, more pollutant alternative sources is what's going to happen. That's all. That's mainly what's going to happen. Am I wrong in that thought philosophy?
No, you're. I would say you're right. You know, and my argument that we basically make in HGR 11 is, hey, you know, I appreciate the fact that you guys are located in a distant capital, about 4,000 miles away from our state. But when the only tool in your shed is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail, right?
Yeah. If you can't duct tape it or put WD-40 on it, it's just a hammer.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the issue with the EPA's basically revoking of our mitigation plan is, you know, they plan to hit us with the big hammer, you know, and that's not going to be good for anybody. So.
And then 86% of the issue is wood stoves, yet here they're going after other items.
Yeah, well, that's because they can't regulate the wood stoves. And keep in mind, the most frustrating thing about this whole process is, you know, all that money that we spent, my property tax dollars and your listeners' property tax dollars went to this thing called the wood stove changeout program, you know, and the EPA came out a couple of years ago or last year and they said, hey, by the way, all those wood stoves that you guys paid for to change out that we certified, turns out we don't know how to certify a wood stove, so they're no good and you can't use them anymore, you know.
I know, my goodness. Thank you, EPA, for that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. How's your kids doing?
Oh, they're doing good. You know, my daughter had turned five. Oldest, my youngest turned two down here, and they're enjoying their time getting to learn how state government works by running around the Capitol and having a good time, you know. But, no, it's great. I love being able to have my kids down here and immerse them in kind of the way government works, and hopefully, you know, people should be working for the betterment of the future. My opinion, that's nothing is a greater reminder of that than have young kids around, because it reminds you of what your actual task and purpose is, was just to try and make the future of our state a little bit better for people who are growing up right now.
Anything coming out of resources that we might want to look at?
Yeah, there's we have the carbon bills. Governor has the carbon offset and carbon sequestration bills. Those are very interesting bills. A lot of talk of taxes. There's the not so much in House resources yet, but Senate is going to transmit the oil tax bill over, I do believe, you know, and that'll come to House resources. And we have a lot of cool concepts regarding geothermal energy. That's a really interesting bill as well, you know, so...
Tell me about the taxes.
Yeah, taxes and taxes and tax. A lot of people proposing a lot of different taxes down here.
Go figure.
Yeah, it's actually a little mentally disorienting to think of all the tax proposals. We got an income tax proposal.
Boo, boo.
You got a big sales tax proposal.
Boo, boo.
I don't know, literally all the taxes. I mean, you got S-Corp tax, you got oil tax, you got tax, and I don't like any of those taxes.
You know, when you do a sales tax, you know, the state takes precedent over it, over your local one, if you have something there. And all of a sudden you have North, you know, the city of North Pole, I think they have like a 6 or 7 right now. Next thing you know, they're going to have a 10 or 11, depending on what is not included in that. So just... Yeah, they put themselves in the first position, and the municipalities are in the second position on any sales tax.
Yeah, I know. I would agree with you. I've talked about this on your show before. I tend to think that you probably, at least on a policy standpoint, you should look at in terms of what policies are best going to be able to move folks forward to be able to better provide for their families. Typically, you know, my opinion is one of the primary roles of government is to facilitate commerce and effectively try to have a light touch with people so they can be empowered to be able to do the best they can.
Supply their own manifest destiny.
Yeah, you know, typically that does not mean squeeze every last drop of blood out of them with a bunch of new taxes. That's typically not what that means.
True. Hey, what we're going to do now is we're going to go into our bottom of the hour news cycle and everything. Can you hold on for a bit?
Oh, absolutely.
Fairbanks, guess what? That's right. They heard you talking yesterday. For all those phone calls that came in with our poopy bumper music, we got some Aerosmith Walk This Way. None of that Janet Jackson crap. We got some good stuff. We're going to have some good bumper music, some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, and some weather, and we'll be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Wall Street Journal reporter and American Evan Gershkovich makes an initial court appearance in Russia today. He's charged with espionage. U.S. Ambassador to Russia, Lynn Tracy, got to see him. How's he doing?
I can report that he is in good health and remains strong despite his circumstances.
Back in Washington, the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic with a hearing on the origins of COVID-19. Ohio Republican Brad Weintraub points to a federal agency saying it was a lab leak.
FBI Director Christopher Wray confirmed publicly that the FBI assessed COVID-19 most likely originated from a lab incident in Wuhan. And the Wall Street Journal reported the Department of Energy now also believes a lab leak is the most likely origin.
China is denying the idea that it was a lab leak. The World Health Organization says there is still no definite answer to the origin of the pandemic. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Minor reports a Fairbanks man faces felony charges in connection with the overdose of an 18-year-old. Elijah Anthony Leon, 25, was charged Sunday with felony first-degree drugs misconduct, felony second-degree drugs misconduct, and felony second-degree weapons misconduct. According to court documents, a father found his 18-year-old son unresponsive with no heartbeat on Thursday night. The dad performed CPR until emergency medical personnel arrived and administered naloxone to his son. On Friday, the 18-year-old told DEA agents that he contacted Leon on Snapchat to buy a single pill of what he thought was prescription Percocet. The 18-year-old told agents that he had previously purchased cocaine from Leon at the parking lot and at an East Fairbanks barbershop. The 18-year-old swallowed the pill and later messaged Leon because he wasn't feeling well. Leon responded and told him that he would be fine and that he has sold 2,000 of those pills before without any overdoses, court documents state. Investigators contacted Leon at an East Fairbanks barbershop around 4 p.m. Saturday and arrested him. He is now being held at Fairbanks Correctional Center on a $100,000 bail.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Dine in, drive through, pick up, whatever you choose, come and get it. It's A&W's cure for the same old, same old. Chili cheese fries, Papa Burger, and right now, Sriracha cheese curds. White Wisconsin cheddar with a kick. A&W on Airport Way.
ACCA, Alaska Center for Children and Adults, a nonprofit agency serving the Fairbanks community since 1946. ACCA, assisting in improving the lives of people in Fairbanks with disabilities and their families by providing quality diagnostic, therapeutic, educational, and referral services in conjunction with other community providers without regard to ability to pay. For more information, go to alaskacenter.org. Alaska Center for Children and Adults, finding the ability in disability.
Great news! Independent Rentals new storage facility is now open. Conveniently located on South Cushman across from Independent Rental, you'll find secure outdoor storage for vehicle, equipment, trailers, boats, and RV parking at the best price in town. Independent Rental also offers all sizes of storage units up to 20 and 40 foot storage containers. With units starting at $20 a month, Independent Rental is the choice for safe, secure, and convenient storage solutions at an affordable price.
Independent Rental, 2020 South Cushman. We're here to help.
The Outdoor Show, sponsored by Camper Valley RV, is happening this weekend at the Carlson Center. No matter who you are, we have something to boost your Alaskan summer fun factor. Check out the newest outdoor recreational equipment, plan a hunting or fishing adventure, get travel ideas, all this and more, including the Interior Alaska Gun Show. The Outdoor Show, this weekend at the Carlson Center, $5 for adults, 12 and under free, and military or anyone bringing two cans of food free on Sunday. The Outdoor Show, sponsored by Camper Valley RV and the radio station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Will Stapp in Juneau. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, better than I deserve.
So you're on the final 30 days, the final countdown.
Yeah, the final countdown, not as cool as the song from the 80s, but it's still there, you know.
Do you expect a flurry of activity in day 28 and 29?
You know, I really hope not. I mean, look, we're going to advance forward at a pretty steady pace, you know, and I think that in theory we can be out of here at a pretty good time. Certainly, even maybe before day 121, I would have rather been out in day 90, personally. But
I'm sure you would have.
But yeah, unfortunately, you know, what our really big constitutional obligation here is to pass a budget. So we need to ensure that both bodies do that so we can fulfill that constitutional obligation and hopefully continue to be a citizen legislature, you know. But like anything else, you know, I mean, things are just going to come to a head ultimately with the state's current level of spending and appetite and at high oil price, you know. If I were to tell Alaskans that the state a decade ago would have trouble meeting ends meet at $70 a barrel oil, they would probably look at me with a shock face, you know.
Yeah, like we'd love that.
Yeah, exactly, you know, but, you know, so you just deal with the challenges, you know, you try to articulate well and listen well and then make good decisions and then don't forget the voters that you represent, I'd say, you know.
There you go. Fisheries, anything coming out of there?
Yeah, they are certainly a lot of chatter about the collapse of some of the fisheries throughout the state, not simply just the issue we have with the salmon in the interior, but, you know, we had collapse, I think, of the snow crab fishery in the Bering Sea, and, yeah, it's very interesting times. I'm not super familiar with certain types of legislation that they are hearing currently in fisheries. I'm gonna plead ignorance as being an interior legislature, you know, as far as the implications of that. We do have board and commission members that we're hearing. So,
Okay, well, heck, you know, it's you know, I had the commissioner of DNR on here, and he gave Commissioner Brune, and he gave a very good overall of what's happening, and a lot of it is not, you know, interception. A lot of it is habitat change. And things going on with that. So it's, you know, one item doesn't cause a plane to crash.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a holistic issue, and it's a very complicated, you know, set of challenges that are being facing that are kind of transforming these circumstances. So, yeah, lots of things that I am, you know, working on down here despite being on finance. I have a good staff that I drive very hard so they can run bills, you know, so we have our Military and Veterans Affairs Commission bill that we're effectively going to try to model the Interior Tiger Team after for statewide board, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said we talked about HJR 11. We have our spending cap bill that hopefully will get discharged from Ways and Means to have a new constitutional and statutory spending limit that actually works to try to keep our fiscal responsibility in check at the state level. You know, that's going to come out of Ways and Means and go to House Finance next week. So,
Okay. Boy, you know, you look at that and you have so many pressures on what to invest in and what not to invest in or what limit yourself to. What are some of those pressures you're seeing right now?
Well, I mean, it's just a different perspective, you know. So my argument, David, is always going to be, and to my constituents, it's always going to be, there are, you know, not all the types of investments are the same. You know, I come from the private sector. I believe in return on investment. So if the state needs to spend money on things, the most effective things that we can spend money on right now at a state level are upgrading Bradley Lake, upgrading our intertie projects to really deliver cheap power to the rail belt.
Right? Yeah.
If you drove down the cost of energy in Fairbanks to 14 or 15 cents a kilowatt, the magnitude of impact that would have for regular people would be exponential, you know. So
mm-hmm.
Right now, say, you know, about 26 cents a kilowatt per power in the interior. And again, if you have we have the proper investments we can make to drive that cost down, and those are the types of investment we should be making, mainly because they help Alaskans lower their costs of living so they can provide for their families and not get crushed by high energy and inflationary pressures. You know,
bringing that up, how do you reconcile that with the fact that, was it Chugach Electric sold for $1 billion and they said they weren't going to raise the rates, and now they need to raise the rates to pay the debt service?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of where you get into to tie the rail belt together, you know, through your upgrading your intertie projects. I mean, if we can pull power from cheap hydro in Valdez or in Bradley Lake, and we can have other types of cheap power projects come online, I mean, that's really a game changer for the interior, you know, and the game changer for the state.
How about your different transportation modes, such as your southeast ferry systems?
Yeah.
That's a broke system.
Yeah, the marine highway system, that's a complicated issue. You know, the problem is ferry system has a really difficult time making money. To put that in perspective, they didn't even make money on the bars on the ferries.
I was just thinking that. That's how bad they are.
Yeah, so it's I don't know how you have a situation in which you're trapped on a boat for 3 days and you can't make any money at the bar, you know.
I concur.
But, yeah, I know it's just, you know, you got an inefficient model. But, you know, there's a, I guess on the bright side, David, there's always a lot of things you can work on to make more efficient. As you well know in local government, I would say at the state level, it's an exponential thing. I like to work hard. You know, I work pretty much every day down here, even the weekends. And there are no shortages of things that you can work to be better. And, yeah, I'm just going to try to do a little bit at a time.
So. How many of the ferries are actually operating now?
I think it's only six, but I don't want to, don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I'm not on transportation committee. I serve on House Finance, right? And I had the health department budget. So ferries are a little outside my purview. No disrespect to anyone who uses them all the time in Southeast, of course. You know, we just don't use them a lot living in Fairbanks. You know?
Very true. Very true. How's your transportation looking?
Oh, to get back to Fairbanks?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cross Gulf Ferry is not running, and wouldn't you believe the Haines Ferry is? So I'm like, man, I haven't looked at my passport in a while. Turns out my passport just expired on my birthday, so
I've got about 5 months left on mine, so I got to get mine updated, yeah, too.
I'm going to have to ship my car back, otherwise I'd be trapped on the island, you know, and fly back. So that's what we're going to do, I think. So, yeah.
Any DOT funding?
Yeah, there's DOT. I mean, our operating budget is a pretty healthy budget, right? Had minimal reductions from the governor's proposals. You know, we didn't want to try to rock the boat too much. You know, so we'll see.
You know, you deal with, you know, what, 300 airports. You have the trains, you have the planes, you have the automobiles, you have the ferries. You have it all in that DOT budget.
And keep in mind, there's a lot of budget money for that type of stuff, too, and not just the federal highway matching dollars, but the Marine Highway Service, looking at that being, quote-unquote, a federal highway service. So we have money to upgrade our boats and see if we can work on the ferry system. And there's even bills out there to legalize gambling on the ferry system, or at least in the works, you know, and to try to make that profitable, so...
That's great. You know, we're going to take a break here, but I wanted to explain to you in Fairbanks, in the last couple of days, we've had this bumper music at the bottom of the hour, just horrible. We had Madonna, and yesterday we had Janet Jackson, and I went off. I threw Melissa Burnett under the bus, you know, choosing this stuff for me. So she was telling me how she got calls yesterday, and she's got better music on, and she's gonna put some Nirvana on because she knows that I'm not a big Nirvana fan. So she's gonna beat me up that way. And I said, well, it's better than Janet Jackson.
I thought you were a Backstreet Boys fan, David.
Oh, you're. I get no pity from you, do I, sir?
Yeah.
Fairbanks, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. I'll be back with Representative Stapp after these messages.
Coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
stay informed of what's happening on the firearm scene today. Tune in to Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for news and conversation on guns, your Second Amendment rights, local events, and important legislation. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers Auto Repair has been helping interior Alaskans care for their cars and trucks for nearly 50 years. From the same location near the airport on Dale Road, listen in to Shooter's Corner every Thursday morning at 11, right here on KFAR Radio. Weather brought to you by Vitus Energy. Vitus Energy was born in Alaska. Vitus Energy provides superior service and very competitive pricing. Find them on Facebook or see them online at vitus-energy.com.
KFAR Weather.
Daytime highs approaching 31 today. Under cloudy skies, northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 12 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. High of 40. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Thursday with highs around 45. 41 Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Representative Will Stapp on the phone with me from Juneau. How you doing, sir?
All better than I deserve.
What's the weather conditions there like?
Well, the sun is out. It's a bit of a miracle down here in the Capitol, you know?
You know, now let me get this straight. You're put in a place for 120 days without a road to it, without sunshine.
Yep, and the skies are gray. I feel like what's
California dreaming.
California dreaming right there, you know?
I didn't want to say what the politics are down there, but what the heck. But you're enduring. But on the Finance Committee, you have yourself, Frank Tomaszewski, and Mike Kronk, all from the Interior.
Yes, we have a very heavy Fairbanks-friendly, Interior-friendly Finance Committee, you know, and we're very proud of that, making sure that we can look out for the interests of our constituents and the residents and to make sure that Fairbanks has a very strong voice in how the money is spent down here in Juneau.
There you go. Going back to the schools again, big component of that. Do you think that you're going to be able to, you know, do you think a larger BSA allotment will come out of it?
I tend to think there will be some sort of education funding increase, one time probably. I don't see a forever increment to the base student allocation formula. That's super substantial.
Yeah.
To me, it's right now we had $174 million, which, by the way, would be the largest one-time increase in the history of the state, which I think that's incredibly substantial. A lot of people say that's not enough money. So really, you got to think in terms of the foundation formula itself. So the formula was effectively crafted in the 1999 by former, actually, Fairbanks Senator Gary Wilkin. It had a slight change during Governor Palin's administration, and the foundation formula that we use for our education funding mechanism hasn't effectively been changed at all since that time. I have some structural issues with how we process that formula in terms of how we apply our hold harmless, how we look at correspondence funding for kids, and this thing called the school size multiplier, which some of the listeners may not know. When a school district actually is penalized when they have to consolidate schools to put more kids in certain buildings. So they are penalized for that. So they are incentivized to effectively build more square footage and put less people in the buildings. Which, from a business standpoint, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to build big buildings and put less people in them, you know.
You know, it's a vicious cycle, because if you gave a very good public education in your community, you'd have more people there. And you get more base student allocation or more funding from the state.
Correct.
But what's happened is many school districts have placed social philosophy over education, and many parents have pulled their kids out into homeschool programs.
Yeah, and like I said, we should want a robust education system because we want to be able to train the workforce of tomorrow, right? I mean, so that's
yeah.
a sticking point, you know. But we also got to make sure that our funding mechanism is basically modernized to look at that trend, right? I mean, so keep in mind, you know, I mean, again, our foundation formula was designed prior to really the explosion of correspondence school and homeschooling in our state, you know. And so, you know, the smart thing to do would be to look at how we can modernize our existing formula for the next two decades, you know, to meet the diverse needs in the education system.
There you go. Goodness gracious, what a thought.
That takes a lot of work, though, and not a lot of folks like to work down here, you know.
Yeah. What percentage of the revenue comes in from oil to the state of Alaska?
We're about 38 to 44%, depending on price right now, you know. So about half the revenue is from the
permanent fund.
On the permanent fund, correct.
Yeah. You know, back in the day, if you wanted to go after your opponent, you'd always say he's going after the permanent fund. Not the dividend, just the permanent fund, trying to break into it. And now it's you're not giving us enough from the permanent fund, my goodness.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, I mean, look, I think that, yeah, no, it's, there are certainly folks down here that want to allocate the entirety of the dividend to expand operational budget items and explode state services, you know. And, you know, the problem with that mentality is that is effectively not sustainable either, you know.
So, yeah.
You know, so it's a give and take for sure.
Now, you yourself, you're a veteran. What sort of things are coming out of the legislature that will help veterans?
Yeah, so, you know, so we certainly look at those issues. We got looking at some VSO service reps for the interior, making sure that veterans are going to be able to have the pathway to be able to dispute their VA disability claims with the service advisor. Still got the cemetery project, obviously, for the veteran cemetery in the interior, though don't really need to take any action upon that from my end as of this moment. And overall, you know, the whole nucleus behind my change that I'm proposing to the Military and Veterans Affairs Commission to run that through the Lieutenant Governor's office is to really get a great level of integration between our active duty military leadership and our municipal governments and some of our business leaders, not only just in Fairbanks but throughout the state, to ensure that we can capture and really make the most out of the opportunities that the federal government and DOD is going to be putting into our state in terms of increased defense spending. Alaska is the last frontier, but we're also the first line of defense for the country.
Jesse Sumner has a bill to have gambling on the ferries.
Yeah, I don't know if he has technically introduced that yet. I did see him draft it, though. It is certainly there.
Any thoughts on that component?
I don't know. I mean, so you know, typically gambling is a very difficult subject in the interior. You know, just because of the nature of our nonprofit sector. I don't think many of us would have any specific. I don't think I can think of any objection to why you couldn't just have legalized gambling specifically on the marine highway system. I don't know why that would be a bad idea. I mean, the cruise ships already effectively do that anyways.
The only thing I would think of is if you wanted to make it effective, you'd have to lease out that license to someone and get a royalty on it, because if you put it in the union hands, just like the bars, they didn't make money.
Yeah, it could be. Like I said, I don't know. But, I mean, look, if it makes the marine highway system sustainable.
Yeah, if it helps, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm diametrically opposed to that personally, you know. So.
True. Any plans for the summer when you get back?
I got to go to work, man. I got my real job, you know.
Those insurance benefits are a calling you, sir.
Yeah, no. You know, honestly, I got a lot of work I'm going to do in the interim. I told folks, basically, you know, my health department budget is maximum size three-ring binders deep. It's about 2,287 pages. That is all of the operational expenditures and allocations that the state makes, federal and state, in the health department alone. So there's a lot of things that I got to go through and see where, you know, I can make more efficiencies. But I'm really happy. You know, I think that we're going to be able to make a lot of good efficiencies from the things that we did working with the department and subcommittee, and even full finance committee. And hopefully we can keep the cost of our Medicaid rates and state GF going down, and we can save some money on that program, you know.
Can you work on the reimbursement rates of the municipalities?
Yeah, you know, you're talking about regarding Medicaid reimbursement rates?
Yes, yes. You know, we get our, on the citywide ambulance, we get 50% reimbursement from Medicaid, and I think it's 20-25% from Medicare.
Yeah, there's a very unique aspect of that that I'm actually looking into to see if we can fix that.
I'd appreciate that. It would help us out a lot. You know, we're basically, you know, I had to make a decision with the hospital. We went from, you know, 20 home transports a month up to 60, and we only get reimbursed what Medicaid will reimburse us, or yeah, Medicare, and that's it. The hospital, their financial status was not available to give any contribution. I mean, none. So I had to make a decision. Do we subsidize this service for them, or do we cut it off?
Yeah, no, it's a challenge, but I'm that's kind of in my AO and what stuff I've worked with. So we are certainly taking a look at it and working on it pretty good. So
yeah, so I said we're going to keep it open for now. See what we can do. See how we can do it. You know, you know, with a community hospital like that, I just couldn't say no. We're just going to cut this off because it makes no financial sense for us. I'm going to subsidize this for a while. See what we can do. So anything you can do to help us is a great service for the community of Fairbanks and Fairbanks Memorial Hospital. It really is.
Yeah. Well, before I do go, David, I do want to let everyone know that I will be coming back home to Fairbanks this Friday and Saturday for a constituent work, meeting with folks. I have a town hall Saturday at 1 o'clock at the old, in my district, the old McPeaks on Badger Road there. It's now called the Badger Plaza. It's all fancy.
I know. Oh, what's in a name? Is it still owned by the Wright family? Or, I mean, Bucky's wife's family?
The Tugas bought it. My friends Mitchell and Rand.
Oh, okay.
They put in beautiful new siding. It looks like a super nice big building. You know, it looks beautiful out there now. So
yeah, they used to have that store in there years ago, and you know, that was the shopping center for that portion of Badger Road.
Yeah, they have a new revamped shopping center in there. They have the liquor well, you know.
Yeah. Now you're sure you're gonna get home? No volcanoes on the Kamchatka Peninsula gonna knock you out?
No volcanoes, hopefully this time. Yeah, that was a very sad last week. The volcano obviously destroyed my travel plans to leave.
Yeah, your Friday with me destroyed it.
Yeah. Well, you know. The Russians heard that I was trying to get back to Fairbanks, so they erupted a volcano to stop my travel.
Darn Ruskies.
Yeah, exactly.
What the heck? But it must be nice for you having your family down there with you.
Yeah, well, you know, I try to do that. You know, I got young kids, so I love my kids. I get very sad when I'm away from my kids for a period of time, you know. So, I'm glad that they're able to come down here and enjoy the time, you know. And I'm also glad that I get to go not be around the Capitol folks at nighttime, you know. So
there you go. Yeah, home with your family. Good to hear. Good to hear. Well, hey, I'm going to let you go. I really, really appreciate the time and effort that you're putting in down there, Will. You're a very exceptional person, very, very well financially astute. So you're in the right location for the state of Alaska and the community of Fairbanks, that's for sure.
Yep, I appreciate it. Always a pleasure to be on Problem Corner.
Okay, buddy, you take care. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, David.
Godspeed.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, boy. He's got a job, that's for sure. Excuse me, a little bit of a hoarse voice this morning, but I'll get through it. And no, it's not COVID. But anyway, Fairbanks, that is our show for today. Tomorrow, I will have Craig Compo on here taking my place. On Friday, I will have Aaron Lajewski for the first time. He wants to give a try and see how he can do as a guest host. So anyway, when I do a lot more traveling now, it seems like with my duties. So we we do a lot of that. So, and here's to Melissa Burnett. She's given us The Police as a bumper music. Really? Really? Here we go.